Hello and welcome to the First Pres Mommy Podcast, the show for people on the go who like to stay in tune with the conversations at our church. Today, Pastor Jason Armstrong takes us through Hebrews 4 verses 1 to 13. It reminds us if we remain obedient to Christ, we will enter into the eternal, spiritual rest offered by God. Let's hear today's message.
But as I prepare to preach on Hebrews 4, 1 through 13 this week, the topic being rest, I tried to take a moment and reflect on culture and rest in our culture and what it seems like around me and what it seems like around you as well. And it came to me, and I think you would agree, that rest is a common struggle for probably nearly all of us, if not all of us. So with this in mind, I did a search based on the following question this week. It was, what percentage of Americans claim to be tired or exhausted? As you can imagine, I did a Google search on that and got a lot of feedback from Google. But one in particular caught my eye, one study, and it is a study done by a group called Ipsos, and it was done in January of 2026, so not too long ago. And they asked 1,290 adults to agree or disagree to two statements. And I invite you this morning to also agree or disagree with these two statements in your head. The first statement was, I have often felt stressed or nervous in the past month. So agree or disagree with that statement. So 55% of men, the male population that they talked to, agreed with that statement. 69% of the females agreed to that statement. The second statement, I've often felt exhausted in the past month. Male, 53% agreed with that statement. And female, 67% agreed with that statement. So where do you find yourself agreeing or disagreeing with those statements this morning? And as you reflect on those numbers a bit that I just recited to you, I wonder if you think that seems about right in your experience in the world and with your friends and your family and being out in the community. I'm actually not surprised that those numbers are actually higher than that, because I think it reflects this reality that we live in that people always have, and they continue to attempt to find rest in other places. Rest in other things rather than in the only place where true rest can be found. And of course, that's in their faith, in their obedience to God in Christ. Because if you try to find rest in those other places other than Christ, ultimately you find yourself in a state of restlessness. And through our text today, we'll see the reality of rest play out throughout the story of Scripture. We'll look some into the past. We'll look some into the present, where it says today in our Scripture. And then we'll also look into the future for eternal rest. So, the initial ordination of rest by God is found right near the beginning of the Bible, Genesis 2. After God had created the world and people in 6 days, he proclaimed that everything that he created was very good. That's Genesis 1:31. And on the seventh day, he rested. Genesis 2:2-3 states, by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. So God's own ceasing of work bestows dignity on rest and embeds this weekly rhythm into the order of life and creation. This created order, this idea of rest, it came even before, most people know it through the Exodus story, through the Ten Commandments when Moses brought down the tablets from Mount Sinai, but it started in the very beginning. Because humanity, as it is declared in Scripture, is indeed made in the image of God, imitating his pattern of ceasing after the work of God is done is both a privilege and a mandate. This type of holy rest, this rest we're talking about today, it's not napping, although naps are good. Amen. But it's not napping. It's far from advocating idleness. God's rest invites people to restful allegiance with God, be in community with God in relationship and peace and wholeness, and to reflect and rejoice in the work that has been ordained by God and the work that God has given you to do for His glory. However, as we look through Scripture, it's easy to recognize that one of the things that people are not good at is restful allegiance. What we are really good at is creating anxiety, creating fear, rather than the idea of being at rest in this unveiled presence of the Lord. Because we had that very thing in the Garden of Eden. As Adam and Eve were created, God gave them holy ordained work. To work the land, to take care of it, to be steward of that which God called very good. And to be in the unveiled presence of God. To be in right relationship, complete, perfect relationship with Him. To see God face to face in rest. After the day's work, God's work was done. But this was broken due to Adam and Eve's sin. And then what I think is one of the saddest scenes in Scripture we find in Genesis 3, 8 through 9. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees in the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" The man and his wife, fearful, not restful, anxious. With the consequences of sin, there being expulsion from the Garden of Eden, a separation from God and people now existed, and there would be a difficulty and trial in their work, in their relationship with creation, and that privilege to rest with God in that unveiled presence was gone. And rest shifted from being fully of this being with God and His unveiled presence to a promise, a covenant with His people. The day of rest is continued as a lasting sign of covenant. We enter now into that Exodus story with Moses and Mount Sinai and the Ten Commandments that God gave to Moses for His people. And the fourth commandment is in Exodus 20, 8 through 9. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your home. It's a time for rest and renewal and reflection and worship of God, to be in God's presence on that day. And as we go through Scripture, rest continues as a sign of God's covenant with His people. And along with this covenantal law, it also becomes a place. A place set aside by God for His people, where true rest in God, where true rest and worship can happen, where Sabbath could take place. Of course, it's referred to in Scripture as the Promised Land. It's Canaan, the place that God promised to deliver to His people so that they could finally find true rest in Him once again. But of course, just like in the Garden of Eden, we're not very good at restful allegiance. We're not very good at trusting God in His promises. We're much better at creating restlessness. And in Hebrews chapter 8, there's a reference made to Joshua. If you go back a little bit in the story, go back to Numbers 13 and 14, it is recorded the story where the people are on the cusp of entering the promised land after their exodus from Egypt, the place that God has promised them to rest, to be their land. And God tells Moses, send one person from each tribe of Israel to go inspect the land, to go explore it and return. After 40 days of exploration, the 12 people returned and gave their report. They reported the land is fertile. The grapes so big that two people have to carry them on a pole. uses the language in the scripture of fertility, of talking about the land as it's flowing with milk and honey. The land that God has promised will provide for its people. But there is a problem. It seems like there's always a problem, right? The report is given from from 10 of the folks that went into the land that the people who live there are very large and powerful. Their cities are fortified. And 10 of the 12 explorers, they turn from God out of their fear, out of their restlessness, and turn from God's promise of deliverance and rest. They say they'll be defeated. Only Joshua and Caleb believe in God's promises still, this place of rest for God's people. And in Numbers 12 or 14, 2 through 4, it says, "All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The whole assembly said to them, 'If only we had died in Egypt or in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt?' And they said to each other, 'We should choose a leader and go back to Egypt.'" My guess is we've all been in that situation where fear and anxiety takes us away from God, God's promises, God's rest. And in response to the people's disobedience, God has Israelites travel in the desert for 40 years so that none of those who were disobedient would ever be able to set foot into that promised land and had to continue in that state of restlessness. But after that 40 years, Joshua did lead the people into the promised land, and they did have rest for a bit. Until Joshua died, that rest quickly faded. As it says in Scripture, the people turned from God and began to do evil. You can read that in the book of Judges. And we continue on with this idea of rest 400 or 500 years later in Psalm 95. This psalm is talked about or mentioned in our scripture today, Hebrews 4. I think it's verses 3, 5, and 7. Here's the text, Psalm 95. "Today, if only you would hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did that day at Massah in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested me. They tried me, though they had seen what I did. For 40 years I was angry with that generation. I said, 'They are a people whose hearts go astray, and they have not known my ways.' So I declared on oath in my anger, 'They shall never see my rest.'" This text, this psalm, warns this particular generation that they need to connect that Sabbath sign, that weekly Sabbath sign. Remember the rest that didn't happen in Canaan, the restlessness that was a result, and calls them to serve in faith-filled worship of God. And throughout Scripture and the history of Israel, we see time and time again God's people rejecting the rest that is offered that can only be found in relationship and worship and obedience to God. Continually to turning things in life that would give them rest, that they thought would give them rest, but in reality only served to make them restless. Again, we can relate because we do the same thing today. What's giving you, causing you restlessness instead of rest? So we go from rest that is face-to-face, this being unveiled rest with presence with God, to it becoming a covenant sign of renewal and a relationship with God through the Mosaic Law, to a particular place in the Promised Land, to now the book of Hebrews. We're in chapter 4, 9, it states, "True Sabbath rest, the holy rest people have been trying to reside in since the expulsion from the Garden of Eden, the rest that is a promise from God which is still available and attainable." Hebrews 4:1 says, "Since the promise of entering his rest still stands." And it's still available and attainable for those who are obedient and believe what has now been proclaimed about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Messiah, and for those who believe they enter into that rest that has been promised. Hebrews 4:3, "Now we have believed Now we who have believed enter that rest. We are now able to enter that rest, not through effort or by keeping the law, but by a better way, a perfect way, a holy way in a person, through that new covenant relationship with Christ. We are brought in communion with God, where we can find that holy rest through Christ our high priest. Because in Christ we are clothed in his righteousness, and we have unique status as adopted sons and daughters of God. We can come to God as our perfect and holy Father, rest in him after doing the good work he's given us to do, the good work which glorifies God. And when he calls out, "Where are you?" we can say, "Here I am," without anxiety, without fear, but in a state of that holy rest. And that rest is available today. As it states in Hebrews 4:7, God again set a certain day, calling it today. Rest is available to you today in your obedience, in your belief, in your faith. And it looks forward to the future when in eternity we will ultimately be made perfect in glory and have that rest. And Christ states in Matthew 11:28-30, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened." That sounds like many of us. "I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And the promised rest is more than relief from toil. By taking Christ's yoke, believers experience covenant fellowship, gentle lordship, heart-level peace. Jesus offers rest and fulfills that shadow of that seventh day and fulfills the promised land. And the rest that's found in Jesus is a living echo of all God's ancient people and is the fulfillment of the pledge that they will dwell securely when God's work is completed, and his work has been completed in the name of Jesus Christ in that person. And in Christ, creation will be made new upon his return, and we will find eternal rest and glory. So what is our response to be? So it has to be the same as the Hebrew Christian community who received this letter. Our response is to see that as those who have taken hold of the promise and indeed believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, that we stay obedient in our faith. We encourage one another, encourage other believers, especially during times of trial and times of suffering, because those times are going to come. But in Christ, we can find rest. That we claim, "Yes, I have rest in Christ from the struggles and the hardships of life. In Christ, I can rest because I am free from the domain of sin. I reject Satan, and in doing so, I'm able to overcome the desires and the flesh in Christ's name. These desires of the flesh to which people are kept in servitude and it deprives them and deprives us and deprives you of the true rest of your soul." And all of us know, we just know that there's an eternal rest ahead of us. We can feel it. We groan for it. And that eternal rest is ours when that work of life is complete. When we are glorified and our baptism is completed. And we have perfect and everlasting rest in heaven and ultimately a new creation when Jesus comes again. Revelation 21:3-5 speaks to this. It says, "I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them,'" going back to the Garden of Eden, dwelling with us again. "They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will be fully unveiled before us." Perfect relationship. "He'll wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." And I can't add to scripture, but fear, anxiety, all those things restlessness that we struggle with will be away. So you can have rest today. You can have true rest when your work is complete, when you glorify God with it and answer his call, and you can rest in freedom from the restlessness and anxiety that plagues our culture and may plague your life, especially as we talked about those statements earlier today, if you agree with those. And there's only one way to do so. And there's an urgency to it. Today. Today. Don't wait until tomorrow. There may not be another day after today. The one way is through your belief and obedience to Christ in all life circumstances. Reading the Word, praying, being with God intentionally, developing that relationship, and in worship. We worship together as the body of Christ. This should be a place of that holy rest where we come before we go out into the world again. Continue to worship in this place as Christ's body. So indeed you can have that rest promised by God, just as we were created to be. Hebrews 4:11 reminds us, let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience, referring to the old stories that we talked about.
We hope you've enjoyed our First Pres Mommy podcast. Learn more about our church at our website, firstpresmommy.org. Have a great week.